Good morning, everyone. First of all, I'd like to thank the writer for our Sunday bulletin this morning. I don't know who he or she is, but it's not easy to write for the Sunday bulletin because it cannot be too short, neither can it be too long. So it's very, very difficult, and we always appreciate the writers. And also, thank you for the worship this morning, especially to those who highlighted the songs and the scripture reading as well as the prayers. This morning, we will go into the topic of God's call to be holy. All right, and this passage part of this passage, verses I think 14 and 15. Is actually our theme verse for this year. All right? Sorry, 15 and 16 is part of our theme verse this year. And if we have not really considered our theme verse for this year carefully, it's not too late. It is 26th of October. The year has not ended. And I think that it will only be too late when the new theme verse comes up and somehow we forget about the present theme verse. It's an important verse to consider, as we will see this morning, or I hope to present to you this morning. So our passage is from 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13 to chapter 2, verse 3. So before we continue, let's go to the Lord in prayer, shall we? Our Heavenly Father, ever-loving and gracious, we remember the parable of the prodigal son and also your promise that every time we confess our sins to you, that through the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, you will forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And if we have not already done so this morning, we come before you now with contrite hearts and ask for your forgiveness for our sins and for your cleansing. And this morning, as we continue to reflect on your word, we ask for understanding and clarity, and that your words will be a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So let me read the passage that we have this morning. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13. Therefore, prepare your minds for action. Be self-controlled. Set your hope fully on the grace to be given you when Jesus Christ is revealed. As obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance. But just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all that you do. For it is written, "Be holy because I am holy." Since you call on a Father who judges each man's work impartially, live your lives as strangers here in reverent fear. For you know that it was not with perishable things, such as silver or gold, that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your forefathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. He was chosen before the creation of the world but was revealed in these last times for your sake. Through him you believe in God, who raised him from the dead and glorified him. And so your faith and hope are in God. Now that you have purified yourselves by obeying the truth, so that you have sincere love for your brothers, love one another deeply from the heart. For you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and enduring word of God. For all men are like grass, and all their glory is like the flowers in the field. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of the Lord stands forever. And this is the word that was preached to you. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. Oh, sorry, I missed out one last slide. In chapter 2, it says, therefore, rid yourselves of all malice and all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and slander of every kind. Like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow up in your salvation, now that you have tasted that the Lord is good. So this morning, we will go in this sequence. I will address the therefore, the word therefore, which is the first word of our scripture passage this morning. And then we'll consider why 1 Peter. Why did Peter wrote this epistle? And how is it relevant, still relevant to us today? And then we'll go into the main gist of it, which is God's call to holiness, and we'll end with the intentionality. So our scripture passage from verse 13 begins with therefore, which indicates the need to revisit the earlier 12 verses to recap the basis or rationale for the commands in the following verses that we are looking for or looking into this morning. So refreshing on 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 1 to 12. Now, if I am able to summarize this passage, I think that the main message would be this, that the Lord Jesus Christ is our living hope. His death on the cross demonstrates God's love, mercy, and grace. Towards his prized jewel in creation. And his prized jewel in creation is basically us, man and woman, who were made in his image. But unfortunately, we chose to deliberately and tragically disobey and rebel against him. And yet God chose to pay the ultimate price to redeem us from sin and eternal damnation through our Lord Jesus Christ. And when Christ rose from the dead, he became our living hope. And this theme of the living hope will trickle down even in our passage this morning. And God has chosen those who believe in him with a new life, an eternal inheritance, and a promise to protect and keep our souls to the very end, till he comes again to establish his kingdom on earth. The gospel according to Matthew ends with the Great Commission in chapter 28. And the last words of our Lord Jesus Christ, before his ascension to the Father was this: "And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age." And when God continues to cleanse us from our sinful nature through the sanctifying work of the Holy Spirit, it is important for us to know that we need to do our part as well. That is, to obey the teachings and commands of our Lord Jesus Christ. And Ephesians chapter 1 encapsulates this truth very well. He says this: "I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is like the working of his mighty strength, which he exerted in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms." And if I can continue in verse 21, it says, "Far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every title that can be given, not only in the present age, but also in the age to come. And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way." So having answered the therefore, I will now go into why 1 Peter. There is something else about Peter, the Apostle Peter, that I would like to touch on before we go into the main message, the passage this morning. And that is, the Apostle Peter spent the final years of his life and ministry as a leader of the church in Rome. During that time, the believers in the other Roman provinces were undergoing intense persecution. And that is why the Apostle Peter wrote this letter, to encourage them to remain faithful to the Lord Jesus Christ, even in their suffering and distressing situation. But how is the message of the Apostle Peter on persecution still relevant to us here today, especially in the Singapore context? Being persecuted for our faith is something foreign to us, something that is far from our minds. We hear stories, we watch it on screen, but it's like the furthest thing from our minds. Something from another world and from another time. And we sometimes cannot relate to it. We are aware of it, but somehow we cannot really relate to it. And so, the question is Peter's exhortation to the persecuted believers in his time still relevant to us today? The last picture that you are looking at and smiling over is the one taken during our last church camp. All right, and they were having durians. So those of us who are familiar with the persecuted church will have heard, and I'm sure will continue to hear, of amazing stories of steadfast faith in the face of death, and even of revivals taking place among Christians who face intense persecution. On the other hand, the Old Testament also records numerous occasions when Israel was disobedient and rebelled against God. And we realize that when they did this, those were the times when they were strong and prosperous. Their military might and their wealth and prosperity got into their heads, and they indulged in worldly pursuits and pleasures which turned them away from God. There's a saying that goes like this: if God is all you have all you need. And I think that's what kept the persecuted church going. There was no hope. Their lives, their very lives were threatened. And we saw the video clip this morning. Our brother Jamal from Ethiopia, he was not only afraid of for himself, but for the lives of his very children. And when you have no hope, no idea of who's going to help you or rescue you, when God is all you have all you need. And I subscribe to this wise quotation, which must have been born of hard knocks and desperation in living the Christian faith. And I also believe that the message of Peter, the Apostle Peter, the message to be faithful in spite of their situation is still very relevant to us here today. How so? And I believe that we may have a greater danger, that we may be in a greater danger than the persecution that they face. Ours is the minefield of prosperity, the good life, and the entertainment. And these entanglements of materialism, consumerism, may be more dangerous to our spirituality, to our relationship with God, than persecution. In persecution, when you have no hope, you turn to the only hope you have, God. But to us, we may be living a life, a good life, so that we can forget God. And that is a very real danger. I would like to offer another quotation. If you have everything you desire in life, and life is everything you expect it to be, you have a greater need for God. Continuing with therefore, because Christ is our living hope, Peter then issues God's call. He now puts on, as it were, his deputy commander, because Christ is the commander. He now puts on his deputy commander's hat and issues the order to his men to be ready for battle. And those in the army will know, be familiar with this. And if we read the verses, it can go like this: prepare your minds for action, be self-controlled, set your hope fully on the grace to be given you when Jesus Christ is revealed. Be obedient. Follow orders. Do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance. Be holy because the God you worship is holy. It's like an operations order for battle because it's serious business. It was only a battle for territory or for resources. It was the end game battle for the souls of mankind with eternal consequences. And it was God's call to holiness. It was not Peter's call. It was God's call to holiness. The Apostle Peter took this quote from Leviticus chapter 44, chapter 11, verse 44 and 45. It says this, "I am the Lord your God. Consecrate yourselves and be holy, because I am holy. Do not make yourselves unclean by any creature that moves about the ground. I am the Lord who brought you up out of Egypt to be your God. Therefore, be holy, because I am holy." So when service ends at about 10 a.m. and you cannot remember most or anything of what I say or share, remember, just remember this. God Himself has called each of us to holiness. It is not an option, but a command. And we must respond in obedience. But what does it mean to be holy? In the Leviticus passage, we read about to consecrate ourselves. And to consecrate is an act or a right, R-I-T-E, right. To declare that someone or something has been designated for or dedicated to a specific purpose, usually religious in nature. Partaking of the Lord's Supper, like we did this morning or every Sunday, is an act of consecration. Baptism, the one we're going to have this evening, is also a rite of consecration. But if you don't prefer to use the word rite, replace it with a solemn ceremony or an act of obedience of a believer who is dedicating his or her life to God. Praying the Lord's Prayer is another example. You can find this in Matthew chapter 6, verse 9 to 13. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, including in our own lives. The laying of the foundation stone of this very church on 11th November 1935 and its formal opening service on 29th February 1936 were acts of dedication for this land and building to the worship of God and used solely for His purpose. Many of us have this idea that when God calls us to be holy as He is holy, that we must become sinless, totally without sin. And we recognize that this is not possible. And we give up. I cannot attain that. So this doesn't apply to me. It applies to those super Christians, somebody else. But we don't realize that when we give up, we actually give in to sin. I came across two notes on the concept of being holy from Bible commentaries that may be helpful. One says that although the translation holy suggests an absolute state of being, it is more accurate to understand it as operating along a continuum of wholeness. The second is the idea of the holy implies differentiation. The realm of the holy is entirely set apart from the common or the profane. God alone is without sin, and we are not God. When God calls us to be holy, it is a call to identify with Him, to be set apart, to be consecrated, to be dedicated to Him. We are then to submit in obedience to the Holy Spirit as He brings us on a journey of sanctification. It is a journey where we are transformed more and more like Christ each day of our lives. That is what being holy means. It is not achieving a state of sinlessness, but a commitment to God to be set apart and submit ourselves in obedience to the Holy Spirit to help us to sin less. There's a difference between living in sin and falling into sin. Living in sin is an intentional choice where we say, I don't care what God says. This is what I want for myself. This is the way I choose to live. Falling into sin is due to our fallen nature, our human frailty, a condition we need divine power to overcome. And Ephesians chapter 6 tells us clearly what we are up against in this world. It says, finally, be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. On our own, we cannot overcome all this. We need the divine power from God. And when we fall into sin due to our frailty and our weakness, we can find assurance in these two verses. 1 John 1:8 and 9. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. Philippians chapter 1, verse 6, being confident of this, that He, God, who began a good work in you, will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. Next, I will cover the last section on intentionality. Our founding PM, the late Mr. Lee Kuan Yew, said that nothing is for free. But we know for a fact that the Bible tells us that salvation is a free gift from God. So I cannot use that. I say nothing is for free. I say, no, there is. I would then like to say that nothing is automatic. But science and technology has again overtaken us, and many devices and systems are now automated. So maybe I can just simply say, and I adopt this, that we must be intentional. Right? I wanted to say nothing is automatic. Once you become a Christian, everything automatic. You don't have to do a thing. That's it. Go to heaven. We achieve it. You don't have to worry about anything, but it's not. Peter exhorts us that we need to be intentional in our pursuit of holiness. We need to prepare our minds for action. Another version can use with minds that are alert. You are fully aware. Be self-controlled. Another version is be sober. Make a sober judgment, a sober decision. Set your hope fully to obey. Do not conform. We need to be intentional. Peter also reminds us why it is important for us to pursue holiness. In the other verses, it tells us, God judges each man's work impartially. God also judges our work. Life on earth is temporary, so treasure eternity. Our redemption was with the precious blood of Christ. You know, there's this, I know it is simple English, right? That Christ came down to die for us. Because God loves us, and that's the only way to redeem us from sin and back to God the Father. But really, you know, it's simple English. I think we can just accept that as a fact. But I find it very hard to understand why God did this. Why God wanted to do this. It's very difficult for me to understand. And by doing that, we have been given new life in Christ. Don't waste it. In conclusion, I would like to say that this call was issued by God Himself. God issued this call for us to be holy. Be holy because I am holy. That's what God said. It's a command for us to be set apart for Him, separated from the evil in the world, the profane, for His glory, for His purpose. And we need to respond to our Heavenly Father's call. Can I invite all of you to stand for the closing prayer and for the benediction for those who can, who are able to? Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we have heard your call for us to be holy as you are holy, to be set apart for your purpose and for your glory alone. Hear our hearts as we respond to you. For those who are saying to you, here I am, set me apart, use me, I pray for your empowerment for them. For those of us who are still hesitant because we are fearful of failing you or who are not yet ready, I pray that you will encourage them and continue to strengthen their faith. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. And now for the benediction. God has not given us a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power, of love, and of self-discipline. Submit yourselves then to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Come near to God, and he will come near to you. Amen. Thank you.